The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Valentine's Day was almost a month ago already, but love is still in the air. At least it was over in India this week. Anant Ambani and Radhika Merchant are getting married this summer. And so they had a pre-wedding party at the groom-to-be's family compound. And I probably should mention that the groom-to-be, Anant, is the youngest son of one of the world's richest men, worth $115 billion, with a B, dollars. And so this pre-wedding party, it was 3 days long, with a guest list of 1,200 family and friends, Bollywood stars, business magnates, former prime ministers, and famous sports figures from around the world, including some names you might know, like Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and Ivanka Trump. The singer Rihanna performed a concert the first night. Her fee alone was rumored to be in the range of $6 million. It took 100-plus chefs to prepare all the meals served during the gala. There was a glass palace filled with flowers, a mini train to move guests around the different entertainment and dining venues on the compound, a drone show involving 5,500 drones, and of course, at the end, fireworks. Total cost was estimated to be somewhere around $120 million. I can't wait to hear about the actual wedding. From internet reports, I gather that there was much love declared over the course of the 3 days by Anant and Radhika for each other, by the parents for their children, the children for their parents, by each of the families for their soon-to-be in-laws, and so on. It seems like it was all very sweet and beautiful, and it certainly was glamorous. But it also all seems a bit over the top. It's not unusual for us humans to try to go big when it comes to love. One of the songs my mom sang to me when I was little, that I sang to my nieces when they were little, was "I Love You a Bushel and a Peck." And that song not only has a bushel and a peck, but also a barrel and a heap of love. And if you spend a few minutes in the kids section of a bookstore, you'll find titles like "I Love You So Much," "Love You Forever," "I Love You Forever and a Day," "I Love You to the Moon and Back," with all my heart, I love you, and I love you more. We hear a love story in our gospel today. Jesus tells it to a man named Nicodemus, who is a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus has come to Jesus at night, presumably because he doesn't want anyone to know that he is associating with Jesus in any way. We heard the first part of the conversation between these two men last Lent, how Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus must be from God because of the things Jesus is doing, like miracles, the changing water into wine. We heard how Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about being born from above, and Nicodemus gets all confused, asking a ridiculous question about whether someone can enter a second time into their mother's womb after they've grown old. Nicodemus doesn't get it, at least not yet. And so Jesus speaks of something a faithful Jew like Nicodemus would understand: the story of Moses lifting up a serpent in the wilderness. Remember the passage Jay read from Numbers, how God's people were complaining after they had been freed from slavery, how God sent poisonous serpents to bite them, and many Israelites died. Then God told Moses to make a serpent and set it on a pole. And whenever someone was bit, they would look at the serpent of bronze and live. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then come those words, probably the best known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. It's even been called the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. It's kind of funny that these words, spoken in the dark of night to a nervous, confused man named Nicodemus, and maybe a few other people in the room, we don't know. How funny that they would end up being words heard far and wide, over and over, by countless of the faithful, and even sometimes the not faithful, through the ages, across the millennia. But I guess when you think about it, it's not so funny that these words have been repeated and chanted and shared and pondered and sung and prayed and clung to since that night Jesus first spoke them. For we need those words, don't we? Just as we need our moms and dads to tell us they love us a bushel and a peck, and our significant others to go all out once in a while, and our kids to give us big hugs and draw Valentines to hang on our refrigerators, we need the good news, the hope, the promise that God loves the world and everything in it so much, so very much, that God was willing to give his own Son to save it. And of course, here's the thing. We don't deserve it. In their various speeches and thank yous, Anant and Radhika and their families and friends spoke about how they all loved each other because because she is so funny and beautiful, because he makes her feel special, because they were so welcoming, because this person is kind, because this person is amazing, because. And that's how we seem to think it works, right? That we earn love. We do something to make ourselves worthy of it by being good enough, smart enough, special enough, lovable enough. But the message of Lent, this season of repentance and renewal, is that we flawed, broken, sinful human beings aren't good enough or smart enough or special enough or lovable enough to deserve anything, especially not the love of God. We are the impatient, complaining Israelites, whining about what we've been given and wanting always something else. We are Nicodemus, so worried all the time about what other people think that we have to sneak around in the dark. We are, well, you can fill in the blank. There are so many choices. Unforgiving, self-centered, prideful, obstinate, greedy, resentful, fearful, territorial, vindictive, selfish, needy. Thanks be to God that we can add loved to that list. We are loved, not because we earn it or deserve it, not because of who or what we are, but because of who and what God is. The season of Lent is drawing to a close. Soon it will be the Friday we call Good, when God's love story takes us to a place called Golgotha, to a man lifted up and nailed to a cross. In his outstretched arms, we see exactly how much so much is. And we are invited to look upon him and live. Amen.